Dear Ajahn, during my last retreat, I went into calmness and stillness. Then I experienced nimittas. A very, very bright light shone on my whole body as if the sun was in front of me. When this happens, do I just observe and let it pass? Please advise. Thanks, Ajahn. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So we have this experience of the mind that's peaceful and still. The thoughts reduce. The body and mind feel light and at ease. And sometimes we have a nimitta arise, like a bright light arising, as if the sun's in front of us. So when this kind of nimitta arises like this, it arises from the peaceful mind, from the mind in samadhi. So we take a look and see what are the causes that we put into place to bring the mind to samadhi like this. And we have effort to do those causes, such as knowing the breath, bringing the mind to stillness and emptiness when there's no breath left. This is a cause for samadhi to arise, for nimittas to arise. So know that. Establish knowing with regard to that. So we see that this nimitta, this bright light, it arises because of samadhi, the mind that's collected and peaceful. And if it's a lot, then it lasts for a long time. It can last for a whole day or a whole month. And so we should understand that this is a samatha kamatana, a meditation on tranquility. Some individuals think that it's vipassana, insight, that leads to knowing the Dhamma, but it's the peaceful mind, it's samatha, tranquility. So just know it, that samadhi is like this. Then contemplate and see that nimitta, that bright light, it degrades, it fades away, it ceases, it doesn't last. And our lives are just like that. They rise and cease. They don't last. So contemplate like this, and this is vipassana.
If one is with breath only, but without nimitta, does it mean I entered the first jhana?
So we speak of this quality of samadhi, the firm establishment of mind. And without nimitta, the mind can be still and can enter jhana. One can use the breath, the in and out breathing, and vitaka, vichara, piti, this fullness, happiness of mind. The body and mind feel light. These can all arise. And then when this happens, the mind exits this quality of samadhi or collectedness. And then we take a look and see after exiting that samadhi during the day, then the body and mind feel light and at ease, and there'll be stable rapture throughout the day as well. Or there'll be rapture throughout the day. We can sit, the mind will feel very firm, it's not thinking. The mind feels sukha, this happiness, and feels very firm. And then exiting from that samadhi, the mind feels very light. The body and mind feel light. So one practices to become proficient in this. The mind becomes still, it's not thinking. There's rapture, fullness, happiness, stillness. The mind isn't wavering. So this can be to the level of the first jhana. But if the mind is experiencing stillness just temporarily, then this is samadhi that's starting to arise a little bit. It gradually gets firmer and firmer a bit at a time. But whatever the case, don't think that you're attaining anything or getting anything. It's just samadhi to a certain degree, to a certain level. It's a quality of the firm establishment of mind. We don't have to give it a name. We don't give it a name. And we use that samadhi to whatever level it is. We use that firm mind to contemplate materiality and mentality as impermanent, stressful, and not self. If we give it this name or that name, think that it's this or that, then clinging arises, we attach to it. So we can read in the text about the five jhanic factors of applied thought, sustained thought, rapture, happiness, and one-pointedness, but one doesn't actually understand what one is reading about. One can get deluded in it. So these qualities of applied thought, sustained thought, one can think that they're referring to thinking, and there can be this fullness of heart arise, and we consider them to be jhanic factors, but it's not the actual jhana. So one should be careful about this. Don't think that it's jhana, but without nimitta, it is possible to enter the first jhana.
Dear Longpa Vandana, I want to understand about the paramitas and how we know whether we have achieved certain paramitas like dana, sila, etc. Is there any way we feel, yes, I am there? Thank you.
So we speak to having strength or energy in one's practice to build these paramis, or the strength of the paramis of generosity and virtue and so on. So speaking in terms of generosity, one type is giving material things, generosity on the outer level. And one sees that one has more strength or energy to do this. One does it evenly and consistently. And doing generosity, one feels rapture, happiness of heart to a degree. And one does it with a giving of the sense of self, the sacrificing, not wanting anything in return. So this is to another level, and even higher is the giving of forgiveness. We look at the generosity of, for instance, Anatta Pindika, Lady Visakha, who had cultivated the parami of generosity. And they had the generosity of a noble being as well. So they're able to do generosity to a very high degree. And it's not that all noble beings can do generosity like them, because they had cultivated their parami in that to a high degree already, had firm faith in the Buddha's dispensation to the point of covering the ground with gold in order to offer a monastery. So from that time until the present day, female or male lay disciples that can practice or have that kind of parami like that is hard to find. So one practiced generosity to abandon greed. And one abandons greed, one doesn't want the wealth of others for oneself. One doesn't, or one stores wealth just for the sake of living in this world, for caring for one's body and mind, caring for one's family according to one's responsibilities. And one stores, or if one stores this wealth, then it's just to use temporarily. And so we use this generosity, we build this parami of generosity so that we don't lack anything in our lives. And we use it to help support the Buddhasasana. In doing this, we see the strength of mind increases, and we want to do generosity all the time. We don't want to miss out on any opportunity. We want to do it consistently. There's some who live in wealthy countries, and they want to help those in need or help the poor, but no one in that country is poor or needy. But they, whenever they do meet the opportunity to give, to practice generosity, then they do it. And so virtue, sila, is the same. It becomes firmer, more concentrated. It goes from sila to a normal level, to sila that has more strength and energy to it, has a higher degree. So we can look at an example. Let's say there's a being, like a cow or a gecko, a dog or chicken or duck, and someone came and forced us or told us we had to kill that animal. If we didn't kill it, then they would kill us. But when the strength of mind is higher like this, we would accept death. We wouldn't kill. So this is sila that has a higher strength or higher energy to it. So in the beginning, we take care of our virtue, and others may criticize us or speak badly to us, but we patiently endure. Others may cause us to lose face or insult us, but we don't return the insult. So we see that this is the parami of virtue. We see it has greater strength. And to understand to what level our strength of virtue is, then various moods or sense impressions come to test our minds and see if we're able to patiently endure.
Is chanting required every day before meditation?
So this practice of chanting, it's a skillful means in the cultivation of samadhi, the mind that's peaceful and collected. So we chant with mindfulness, not too slow, not too fast, such that the mind isn't busy and distracted with outside things. And we incline the mind and heart to respect the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. In this way, rapture can arise. We don't have to chant for a long time. We can sit and recollect that the Lord Buddha has such great compassion, immense compassion. It's without limit, without bound, and truly great compassion. So we praise the qualities of the Buddha, like a little bird in the great sky. And thinking like this, then rapture can arise. Doing this, we're not chanting, we're recollecting the qualities. This is the practice of samadhi, to bring the mind to collectedness. Sometimes we may chant it to be so, swakato. We don't feel it deeply, but we recollect the qualities like that, like this, and we can feel it deep in the heart. So this is paying homage through our practice. So we see that chanting is not necessary. We can just go ahead and practice. However, usually the mind is busy and distracted. So we chant first to bring the mind to ease and peace to a degree first. And then so that we're able to meditate without the mind being too distracted and busy.